The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 20. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout. Violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. There is in me my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time? From the things of which you are now ashamed. The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospels according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, brother will deceive brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the roof housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message comes from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went to the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them, it is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all those who do evil. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus would tell many parables throughout his ministry, and he used parables to reveal truth to his friends, but would also use the same parables to confuse his enemies, to confuse the ones that hated him. The parable I just read is the beginning of 8 parables in succession that Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is God's rule over the universe. There are many verses that proclaim God is king over all. Psalm 22, "The kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." Psalm 103 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." And finally, from Proverbs 21, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of waters. He turns it wherever he wishes." In the parable, the one who sowed the weeds was the devil. And it said of the devil in Isaiah 14 that Lucifer became so lifted up with pride that he rebelled against God and became Satan. Revelations 12, 3 and 4 tells us that he persuaded 1/3 of the angels to follow him. And since that time, there's been a terrible civil war in the universe between the forces of God and the forces of the devil. But Jesus has already won the war. When he died and rose again, he defeated Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is just a remnant. It doesn't have the power that we sometimes attribute to him. And it does say he was cast out of heaven. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven." And in Revelation 20, "One day the devil will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever." The battle wages on between Satan and God, because God is waiting for more people to be saved. Ephesians 2 tells us that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "Against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's the enemy. Sorry. The kingdom of God is invisible to the naked human eye, but it's visible to the believer. Luke 17 tells us, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." That's why Hebrews 2:9 tells us we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. The kingdom of God is an important picture, especially in the book of Matthew, where he mentions the kingdom of God 32 times. This parable that I read, the one we generally call the parable of the wheat and the weeds, all right, goes hand in hand with Jesus' parable of the soil, the good soil, the rocky soil, the soil on the path, and the soil with the weeds, and what happened to the plants in each one of them. Jesus says in verse 23, "He who has received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Luke follows up that parable with these words of Jesus, that the seeds fell on the good ground are those, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it to bear fruit with patience. Good heart. That's the issue at point here. Charles Spurgeon, a well-known preacher of the 1800s, said, "Nothing can be done with it by man. The only thing that can be done is for God to come in. There must be a work of the Holy Spirit through the cross of Jesus Christ to change our hearts into the good soil of grace. Then the wheat will grow, but not until then." You know, if you want to learn something about dentistry, you ask a dentist. If you want to learn something about truck driving, you ask a truck driver. Or if you want to learn something about teaching, ask a teacher. So if you want to learn something about the kingdom of God, look at what Jesus has to say about it. And it's something we need to know, because that's where we're going to spend eternity, is in the kingdom of God in heaven. Today's study of this parable has a couple important lessons to us. First of all, is to learn about his lordship. Jesus is in control. Matthew 7 says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Even on the way to the cross, Jesus was in control. He says in John 10, 17 and 18, "My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." He's saying he's in command. Nobody's taking his life. He's giving it up for us. The lordship of Jesus comes through in this parable. Please listen again as I read verses 24 to 30. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the grain has sprouted a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then where have come the tares or the weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' And he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the weeds, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow, both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" When Jesus explains his parable, he says that the man who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, referring to Jesus himself. Tares are weeds. In the Middle East, they are known as beaded darnels. When they grow, in the first early stages, they look identical to wheat. You can't tell that they're a weed, which, by the way, is slightly poisonous. You can't tell it's the weed until the head appears, and the head of the weed is one color, but these bearded darnels have a different color head. That's the only way you can tell the two apart. So obviously you don't want the weeds in your bread if they're slightly poisonous. Excuse me. The Lord knew who had planted the weeds. And we need to understand the Jesus' lordship. The devil is real, and he is our enemy. Jesus says to Satan in John 8, "You are of the Father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Some people act like the devil is not real. He's intelligent, and he's an active spirit in the world. And he always tries to connect us back with our original sin. Our original sin with Adam and Eve was they wanted to be like God. Every time we break a commandment, we're also breaking the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods but me." Because when we sin, we're telling God, "That commandment doesn't matter to me. I can do what I want." So we're breaking the first commandment. And that's Satan's tactic, always to go back to, "You are a god in your own mind." Jesus also says of the man who sowed the seeds that he will harvest the wheat at the right time. In verse 40 to 43, "Therefore, as the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and he will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The second lesson of this lesson is Jesus wants us to learn about his love. He did not clean the weeds out immediately. Even when the servant said, "You want us to go and pull out the weeds?" He replied, "No, you may pull out the wheat instead." God is amazingly patient with us sinners. In 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Having troubles with the sermon because it's got printed on both sides and I'm not used to that. So I want to, I'm just being dumb today. All right, from 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 6, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Jesus says of children in Matthew 18, "It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Another verse we use to say that infants or very young children can believe. John 3:16, of course, the famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus willingly took on the punishment that we deserved. He took on the punishment, the sufferings, and the death. And he gave his blood on the cross to cleanse us of our sins. Jesus wants us to also to learn about the lost. He says in verse 38, "The field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the wheat are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and he'll gather out of his kingdom all that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." What about the weeds? Do we think that we're the wheat, or do we think we're the weeds? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So just being a sinner is not enough to make us weeds. It makes us weeds when we are not repentant of our sins. In the adult Bible study, we're studying Jeremiah, and constantly Jeremiah is calling the people to repentance. He lists what they've done wrong, pointed out their sins, and then he calls them to repentance. That's what makes the difference between a weed and wheat. Judgment Day is coming. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And keep in mind, hell was not prepared for people. Hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. It was not part of God's original plan. God loves them enough that Jesus came to tell them the truth. Jesus says in Matthew 9, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." God loves us so much that he gives us time to repent. He calls us to turn away from our sinful, selfish ways and turn to him. He wants everyone to know him as Lord and Savior. He wants us to learn about living in his light. Verse 43 says, "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Only the righteous, the repentant believer, will see the kingdom of the Father. As I said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus declares us righteous because of his blood on the cross. And we stand on these promises. Thank God for the cross of Christ. Thank God for the saving grace of the merciful King. And to conclude from Psalm 37, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.